John chapter number 6 tonight. Jesus, we preached out of this chapter this morning, but I have another little thought on my heart, a passage that we didn't really magnify this morning. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. I mean, what would it be like to follow Jesus and see people that have been blind all their life, all of a sudden they could see? People that had been lame, had to be carried everywhere they went, all of a sudden they could walk. People that couldn't hear, all of a sudden they could hear. I just want to say this, at least for myself. I believe I'm guilty of taking a lot for granted along the way. If we're not careful, we'll be complaining because we need hearing aids and not remembering that there are some that have never heard a bird chirp anywhere at any time. Be complaining because we have to wear glasses. And that day's coming soon. Coming soon. I noticed the other day I was about here halfway back through the church from some writing on the wall. It just didn't look like the writing on the wall used to look. And so Dad told me, he said, son, the day will come, them reading glasses won't get it done. Dad, I believe the day's about here. Amen. But Jesus, you follow him around. He's healing people that were diseased, lepers, the woman with the issue of blood. It must have been something just to follow him around and see the miracles that he did. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Many times in the Bible, Jesus went up into a mountain alone. But here he's sitting with his disciples. The Bible said the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? I love this about our Lord. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Don't you like that? Jesus, in this trial, was trying to help Philip. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And honey, if you and I will let him, in our trials, he'll help us. Him already knowing what he's going to do. The Bible said here, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. You read in another passage of Scripture, and that says, besides the women and children. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for the privilege to be here tonight. The privilege to read a passage of Scripture from the Bible. The privilege, Lord, to have you speak to our hearts. Lord, thank you for the good singing tonight. Lord, how we need to walk closer to thee. And I pray, Father, that as the coming of our Lord draws closer, that we would draw closer to thee. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to never forget that every victory that we have is in Jesus. Help us, our Father, to never forget that every victory that we have is because of an old rugged cross. I pray, Father, tonight you'll help us, bless us together. Help us tonight, Lord, to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In thy name we pray, amen and amen. I want to preach out of this passage tonight on this subject, the potential for little to become a lot. The potential for little to become a lot. The songwriter said it like this: little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. I thought about the little lads up here taking up the offering tonight. A while back, I think Brother Brian made the statement, it looks like it's going to be an all Stallard offering. Amen. That just sounds so good because it's almost like all-star. You know what I mean? An all-star offering. But those little lads tonight, those little boys helping take up the offering, God only knows what God's going to do with those little boys. God only knows what he's going to do with these little ones in Sunday school. God only knows what he can do, because truly little is much when God is in it. Amen. And so tonight I want to look at the potential for little to become a lot. There's some things here that I want us to see tonight, and I want to challenge our hearts as we go out of the church this week, as we go out to work, we go out into the world, we'll be going to places like Walmart and places like Sears maybe, places like Lowe's, places like places to eat and things of that nature. But I want us to get it in our heart tonight that something that may very well be little in our eyes, God can take it and make a lot out of it. And I'll give you the thought tonight. First thing I want us to see tonight is the Lord's omniscience. The Bible talks about here, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? The word omniscience just talk about the fact that God is all-knowing. Let me ask a question. Do you believe God knows about this week that we're facing? How many believes he knows about that? How many believes he knows about the people that we're going to cross paths with? How many believes he knows their heart? He knows the very heart of the people that we're going to cross paths with. The Bible said here, this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. I see not only the Lord's omniscience in this story, he knew ahead of time what he was going to do. You know, it wasn't a surprise when Philip said, listen, all we've got's a lad and a little lunch. And what is this among so many? I mean, honestly, how would you like to take what Philip had and try to feed just the people that were here last Sunday? How'd you like to do that? It would be an embarrassing situation, would it not? To take five loaves and two small fishes and just try to feed a couple of hundred people. Well, what about 5,000 men besides the women and children? If there was one woman and one child for every man, and that's not out of the norm, then you might have been looking at least 15,000 people. A great big need. The second thing I want to say tonight in the message, we see the Lord's omniscience, but we see the insufficiency of what man can do. Everything that is big in the eyes of God has to be accomplished by God, and man is insufficient in and of himself to accomplish it. So you might say, well, I can do all things. That's true, but remember the next two words, through Christ. Remember the next words, which strengtheneth me. Remember these words, without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. So we're very, very insufficient without him, but to operate in him is to have all the sufficiency that we need to do what God would have us to do.
And so I see the Lord's omniscience. He already knew what he was going to do. I see the Lord's letting man know that they're insufficient. Philip said, well, 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't be sufficient for them, that each one may take a little. And then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he said unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. And here's what I want us to see now. Not only the Lord's omniscience, but the Lord's omnipotence. What do you mean by that, preacher? His power. His power to take little and make much out of it. I'm going to tell you something right now. We underestimate our Heavenly Father tonight. He can take little and he can bless it. He can break it and he can make more out of it than you and I could in a lifetime, in a moment of time. And that's exactly what he's going to do. We're going to see the Lord's omnipotence. We're going to see the sufficiency of what God can do. There's a little lad with a little lunch. Let me say this. I believe the little lad had the right heart. You say, what do you mean? I don't believe that the disciples had to wrestle that little lad for the lunch. I just don't believe that. I don't see it in the text. I don't believe they had to say, boy, Jesus is going to whoop you if you don't give up that lunch. What I see is that a little lad that has the right heart, he's saying, here, it's all I got, but you can have it. That's what I see. Not only is there a little lad with the right heart, but he's putting his little lunch in the right hands. I tell you what we need to do, beloved. Listen, we need to teach our children. Yes, there are great companies in Kingsport to work for. Yes, there are great futures and job careers. But we need to teach our children to put their lives in the hands of the one that can make much out of their lives. Amen. For his honor and for his glory. We see the sufficiency of what God can do. There's a little lad. I'm going to give you several things real quickly. This is just so elementary in a lot of ways, but I think it's important. Jesus received the little. No one should ever forget that when it's offered with the right heart, you might say, preacher, I don't have much to give him. I'll tell you what you can do. You can do like the Indian did one time. He came down. He didn't have anything to put in the offering plate. So he took the offering plate, set it on the floor, and stood in it. And he told him, what I'm doing is giving him myself. That's all he wants anyway. Amen. He wants us to give ourselves to him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be it transformed by the renewing of your mind. So Jesus received the little. I think some people say, well, I've heard people say this before. If I win the lottery, I'll start tithing. No, you won't. First of all, you ain't got no business playing the lottery. Give me some help right there. Amen. But second of all, if you wouldn't give him a dime out of your dollar, you wouldn't give him $100,000 out of a whatever many. That would be $10,000. No, $100,000 out of a, that'd be a million, wouldn't it? If you multiply it times 10, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't give him $10,000 out of $100,000. Wouldn't give him $100,000 out of $10,000. I'll tell you what, I believe with all my heart, some people say, well, I can't give a whole lot, so I won't give anything. That's a bad mistake. Yeah. Jesus received what this little lad offered him. He received it. And not only did he receive it, but according to the word of God, he not only received it, but he gave thanks for it. Now listen to me. I this is just so elementary, but God spoke to my heart about this. We teach, and the Bible teaches, that you and I ought to be a thankful people. But what I see right here is the God of glory giving thanks for what had been given to him. Think about that. I never thought about that before. But he's given thanks. I wonder, some of those grown men, if they didn't think, well, this is a waste of time. What in the world is he going to do with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes? I'll tell you something right now. Anything you give to God with the right heart, you put it in the right hands, and I tell you, it's not a waste of time. Amen. It's not a waste of talent, but God will take it and God will use it. God will give thanks for it. Jesus received the little. Jesus gave thanks for the little. But then let me give you this. In Mark chapter 6, verse 41, when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and he blessed and he broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And two fishes divided he among them all. Jesus broke the little. Let me say this. When I say broke, yes, he's distributing. He's breaking it. And it just keeps going. And it keeps going. And it keeps going. And it keeps going. But here's what I mean. He touched it. Beloved, when Jesus touches something, amen, it's going to be magnified. It's going to meet the need. I believe that with all my heart. Jesus broke the little. And then what happened? The little became a lot. Actually, it became more than enough. The Bible said they gathered them together, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. The Bible said they had eaten were about 5,000 men besides the women and children. In Matthew 14:21, it was more than enough. Jesus took the little, it became a lot, and he distributed it to the whole crowd. Amen. Everybody. You say, preacher, did everybody get something to eat? That'd be a miracle. No, everybody got full. Everybody got so full they didn't want another bite. And Jesus said, don't waste anything. Go out yonder and gather up the fragments that remain. And then he tells us there's 12 baskets. In other words, he had more left over than the little boy had to start with. Amen. That's the God that I know and serve, the all-sufficient, the all-knowing God. Jesus distributed the little. And let me give you this. We're still preaching today. We're still reading our Bible today about when little became a lot. When little became a lot. I didn't know. I didn't write anything down because if it was of God, I wanted the Lord to remind me. And God knows he has to remind me of things. But I'm going to tell you a little story. When little become a lot. Now, I was sitting, my dad and I, we started deer hunting when I was about 20 years old. I started, maybe 19, I started with a friend of mine that I worked with. Now, I wasn't a real good person at that time. I kind of had gotten involved in some things that were ungodly. And I was living the life of a sinner. That's what I was, and that's the life that I was living. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I am going to tell a little story tonight. And so my dad and myself and my friend and his dad, we went hunting. It was the day after Thanksgiving. I never shall forget it as long as I live. It was snowing. And I don't know if I'm imagining things, but at that time I could hear. Has anybody ever been outside when it was so calm and it was so still that you could hear the snowflakes, the big snowflakes? Anybody ever experienced that? That's the way that it was. I didn't know anything about hunting. That's the truth. I'd never killed a deer before in my life. I didn't know how to dress. What few clothes I had, I put them on, and we walked for an hour before daylight. So when I sat down that morning, I was already wet from sweat. And you're not going to stay anywhere long when it's cold like that, wet from sweat. And I didn't know any better. I carried me a trash bag in my pocket. Brother Gary got the trash bag out and laid it down. Worst thing in the world you could sit on in the woods is a trash bag. It rattles, don't it, Brother Houston? You've probably tried it somewhere along the way. You can't hardly move without the thing rattling, making all kinds of noise. And I hunkered back under a log. Y'all know what hunkered means, don't you? There was a log, a tree had fell, and the forks of another tree had caught it. So it left it on an angle like this right here. Tree was about this big around. And so that snow was going down my collar. I didn't have a hood. I just had a ball cap on. I didn't have a toboggan. I didn't know what to do. So I just put my plastic bag down there, kicked the leaves and snow out a little bit, and I hunkered back under that tree to keep the snow from going down my collar. About 20 years old. Never forget it. I want to teach you something here tonight. It was there that I got under conviction about something that was going on in my life. When I was a kid, I was taught that you do not use God's name in vain. I was taught that. You don't do that. You don't use God's name in vain. That teaching comes from the Bible. You don't do that. And I'll tell you what happened in my life. Beloved, I got up in high school years, and I didn't make it a practice of doing that. And to tell you the truth, it kind of bothered me when somebody else did, because I was taught that that was wrong. Then I got out into the workplace. Then what happened was I got accustomed to it. I got kind of numb to it. I got hardened to it. Then the first thing you know, if I got burnt real bad working in steel, or if I dropped a piece of steel on my foot, or if I mashed my finger, it was coming out of my mouth. I was using God's name in vain. There in the stillness of that winter morning, I was hunkered back under that log. My dad was twice the length of this building below me. We started up the holler together, and he said, "Son, as far as I'm going." And he sat down under a log bush, and I went up there and sat down. There under that log, you don't have to believe me, but I believe you will, especially when I explain. I got under conviction about using God's name in vain. I said, I need to know something. I said, I need to know if there's any way you could take my life and make something out of it. I didn't bow my head. I just closed my eyes and I said, "God, I need to know if there's any way you could take my life and make something out of it." I said, "God, if there is, I said, I'd like to kill a buck deer this morning." You say, "Preacher, I thought you said you was a sinner." I was. You say, "Preacher, I thought the Bible said that God heareth not sinners." The Bible does record it, but it was the Pharisees that said it. If you want to look it up in the text, you go look it up. Honey, the Bible said that Cornelius' prayers and alms came up before God for a memorial before he was ever saved by the grace of God. If I never move from where I'm standing, I lifted my eyes. I said, "Amen." I lifted my eyes, and here come a deer out of the laurel bushes. If I would have been a blind man, you couldn't have helped but heard the deer. He would snort every time he took a step. In retrospect, I believe that deer probably smelled my daddy. In retrospect, because daddy was bad to smoke, and I think the deer probably smelled. But anyway, I'm going to give God the glory. If I'd have been a blind man, you couldn't help but hear him. Every step the deer took, it snorted. "Whoo! Whoo! Whoo!" I think it was saying, "Shoot me! Shoot me! Shoot me!" And honestly, if I would have been deaf and couldn't hear, you couldn't help but seeing him, Lance. A deer with a rack about like that, the biggest bodied deer, well, until last year in Illinois, the biggest bodied deer I'd ever killed. And if I was deaf, you couldn't help but see him. There's a white background of snow and a brown deer with brown horns coming out through there, throwing his head up and down. Well, I'm going somewhere. You stay with me just a minute. I raised that 270 to my shoulder, and I fired at that deer. That deer made a half circle around the side of the woods, and honestly, I thought he was going to run over me. He come right down where I was. I jumped back out of the way, and he slid up against a laurel tree and fell dead right there. My dad, at that time, I could hear. My dad hollered, "Son, did you get him?" And I said, "Yeah, Dad, come up here." My dad came up there. Brother Rose, I looked at my dad. Dad was out of church. Dad was not serving God. The same vile language was coming out of my father's mouth that had been coming out of mine. I looked at my dad and I said, "Dad, the Lord is the reason that deer's laying there." And he looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I said, "Daddy, that deer's laying there. And what God just told me was, he can't take my life. And he can't make something out of it." You say, "What are you trying to say, preacher?" It was just a little prayer that was breathed from a broken heart. And God, listen, I didn't understand salvation. I didn't understand the future that God had for me. But I'll tell you this, it wasn't long after that. I was in the house of God. I began to hear truth. My pride began to fight it all. But thank God at 27 years old, he saved me. Just a little prayer. You say, "That's so stupid." Well, that's up to you. Amen. God put a stamp on my life and said, "Son, you ain't much, but I can take something little and I can make something out of it for the glory of God." I don't care, beloved, how far down a person's been, how many drinks they've had, how many drugs they've had, how many times they've used God's name in vain. You let God get a hold of that life and he can make something out of it for the glory of God Almighty. Think about that. We're still preaching about a little lad who took his lunch, gave it to Jesus, and it became a lot. This little lad's story fed 5,000 men besides the women and the children. I wonder sometimes if mama was there. I just let my mind wonder. The Bible doesn't say whether his mama was there or not. But Sister Jane, can you hear him going home saying, "Mama, you ain't going to believe this. You remember them little loaves that you put in that sack for me this morning and them two little fishes? You ought to have seen what Jesus done with them. Mama, you ain't going to believe it." I don't know that to be a fact, but I know this. We're still talking about it today because somebody took something that was little. And my friend, listen, put it in the hands of God and let God use it. I thought about, as I was preparing to preach, our little ones here at Bible Way, how we ought to put them in the hands of the Lord. Little. Maybe this week, just a word of prayer. Maybe just a word of encouragement. Maybe just a word fitly spoken. Maybe just a text message. Maybe it's just a phone call. Maybe it's just witnessing to someone. Maybe it's just a gospel tract. Maybe it's just a cup of cold water. Maybe it's just a cup of coffee, a little something to eat. But I believe this, if we'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as God's people, I believe he has a lot of littles that he wants to put in our life and use us to make a lot out of it in somebody else's life. Amen. Sometimes we think, "Well, I can't do the big things." Sometimes I'm glad we can't. God just wants us to be faithful to the little things, and he'll take it and do the big things with it for his honor and for his glory. I thought about the little boys this morning going in the choir. They can't sing yet. They can't read yet. But they're in the right place. Amen. For God to use them. They're in the right place for God to use them. Tonight, there's the potential for little to become a lot. You know, tonight, the Lord may be saying to you tonight, "I can take your life and I can make something out of it." How many knows what we made out of our lives? A mess. That's all we're able to make. But you take a mess and put it in the hands of the Master, and he can make something out of it for his honor and for his glory. I appreciate you coming tonight. Let's use our imagination this week. Try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because I believe the Holy Spirit, if he leads us this week. How many's ever been going down the road and Maybe God just put a family on your mind, or maybe God just put an individual on your mind. How many's ever experienced that? How many's ever missed the blessing? You know, something caught your attention, or you begin to think about something. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call them after a while. How many's ever experienced that? And after a while, never did come. Am I right or am I wrong? I'm not fussing at us. We're all made out of the same flesh. But I am saying this. I don't want you to get killed. Amen. That sign in Missouri said, honk if you love Jesus. Text while driving if you want to meet him today. Amen. I don't want you to get killed trying to be a blessing to somebody. Amen. But I tell you what I do. I do believe God would help us all if we'd be just a little bit more sensitive to the precious Holy Spirit of God. Be a blessing. Be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that there is the potential for little to become a lot. Lord, the little children come in on the vans. Lord, I don't reckon I ever rode a van to church, but Lord, I rode a bus. I rode a bus many, many times. Brother Whiteley, his precious wife, loved us enough to come by and get us, bring us a piece of chewing gum. Lord, I realize standing here today without you, we're nothing. Many ways, we're not much. But what we are by the grace of God. Lord, I thank you that I don't want to use your name in vain today. Thank you, Lord, that I'm in a place where that bothers me again to hear that. Lord, I'm glad today that there are many things, Lord, that you've helped us to turn around in our lives. God, I pray that today we would just leave the church tonight. It may be before we get home, Lord, you'd put someone on our heart. I've often thought, Lord, that we wait so many times till somebody dies to bake a cake or to make a pie or to take a meal. How many people there are living and breathing tonight that that'd be such a blessing. Not so much the cake, but just that somebody thought of them, that somebody cared enough to take a little time. I pray, God, that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to care one for another. Help us to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying. Let them know that Jesus is merciful and Jesus will save. Lord, I wonder if this little lad, I want to believe, Lord, with all my heart, that he's in heaven, that because of what he saw that day, he said, that's my Jesus. That's the one I want to go home with. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to rear our children up. Help us, Lord, to realize, God, that the potential in the Lord cannot be fathomed tonight. Lord, I thank you that you can take little and make much out of it for your glory. Thank you for that potential tonight. In Jesus' name.